We have an ancient word from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O God, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Holy One is my strength and my might. God has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Holy One, call on God's name, make known God's deeds among the nations. Proclaim that God's name is exalted. Sing praises to the Holy One, for God has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
And following that text, we sing, with joy draw water from the wells, from the spring salvation's living well.
With joy draw water from the spring salvation's living well.
Okay, so here is the gospel reading from Luke. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham and Sarah as our ancestors.' For I tell you, God is able to raise up from these stones children to Abraham and Sarah. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds ask him, "Well, what then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." And soldiers also asked him, "And what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news, to the people. And Bruce Pruitt, this wonderful Australian poet and liturgist that I like a lot, writes a contemporary word, "brave wilderness voice." "Oh, brave wilderness voice, prophet of the highest, come among our markets and consuming passions and rebuke with your cry our modern addictions and our frantic fashions. Oh, lonely, rough-hewn soul, speaker of hard truths, axe our mad, fruitless boasts and viperous displays. Call us to that repentance which we have deftly dodged under pious cliches. Oh, smoother of crude ways, mover of black mountains, tread down our pampered pride and cultured discontent. Straighten our twisted days until each childlike hope skips to meet the advent of the promised one." Joy to the world. Can you hear it in John's words? Do you find it present in Pruitt's poem? Where can we find joy in today's gospel text, and what does this all have to do with the wondrous approach to Christmas anyway? And Gary tells us to turn the page and see what's on the next page of the LA Times, right? Where do we find it? Who wants to hear such gloom and doom, even if it is cold outside, who wants to hear such gloom and doom at this time of year when we should be singing carols, right, Marge? Singing carols and celebrating. But here it is, a tough text for all of us who feel like Christmas just can't come soon enough. I'm actually going to skip the gospel reading for today and just focus on the other three texts from Zephaniah, Isaiah, and Philippians, all of which treat joy directly. However, life keeps happening. It keeps happening all around us with its ups and its downs. The news cycle continues to bring bad news. While we live here in relative peace and comfort, in this season of pandemic, there are far too many folk who suffer, who live in fear, who experience hardship, hunger, hopelessness, who are struggling to find their way when it seems like every way is blocked. How do we focus on joy in such a time as ours without denying the harsh realities of the world in which we live? Well, I remember reading a little book of Advent meditations by the writer Carol Howard Merritt. Her book was in a little book that was titled, "I Am Mary." And in it, Merritt Merit and Mary, and it, Merit, covers each day of Advent with a short reflection from the perspective of Mary. Your niece, is it your niece, Carrie, might appreciate it. She acknowledges that she wanted to write such a book of meditation since giving birth to her own daughter. It's a beautiful and powerful and moving thing to consider these days leading up to Christmas, to consider it from the perspective of a woman carrying the child, the one who will give birth to God made flesh. There are portions of her contemplation that are earthbound with nitty-gritty, with all the nitty-gritty of pregnancy. And then there are parts that soar with the ecstatic poetry of a young mother-to-be. So it was in this context that I remembered reading of a 7-year-old girl named Jacqueline Caal from Guatemala who died in the custody of U.S. Border Patrol several years ago. Now, I know I wasn't there, and I don't know all the details, but what I do know about this incident is that this was somebody's child, some mother's baby, her father's little girl. Jacqueline's mother carried her in her womb and experienced the pain and the joy of giving birth. The little girl had traveled with her father in search of a safe and healthy place to call home. How do we proclaim joy in the midst of such suffering, especially when our own nation seems to have played a key role in the death of this child, administration's denial notwithstanding? Then I read that my friend Bruce Ray's Chow, pastor of First Presbyterian in Palo Alto, had been arrested at the border around that time while participating in an action called Love Knows No Borders, organized by the American Friends Service Committee and the Poor People's Campaign. I remember being moved that Bruce was willing to stand with those seeking asylum in our promised land of liberty and abundance. He was willing to risk his comfort for the sake of those who are desperate to find a measure of peace and well-being in this old world. Bruce reported that this week of action called for the U.S. to respect the human right to migrate, to end the militarization of border communities, and to end the detention and deportation of immigrants. He continued, when people asked me why does it matter, why would you do that, why should we care, all I can say is that my faith compelled and compels me to find a way to address the needs of the stranger. Like few aspects of my faith, he writes, the call to unabashed and enthusiastic welcome is simple and clear, because when it comes to the stranger seeking shelter, food, drink, and welcome, I have no choice but to offer it. I will not always be perfect in offering hospitality, he confessed, but I will never let fear of imperfection or failure be an excuse not to try. So a candle is lit. A little light shines in that darkness. Perhaps there's a glimmer of hope because Bruce and some other religious leaders were willing to object to those in power using that power to dehumanize and mistreat desperate people who are in dire need. You see, the misuse and abuse of power is not the Jesus way. That's what John was warning his listeners to turn away from. Instead, he encouraged them to turn toward the welcoming, the healing, the saving embrace of God in Jesus the Christ. While this witness came too late for Jacqueline and her parents, and for the 55 refugees whose bodies laid scattered across the road in Chiapas, Mexico this week, maybe still a witness that proclaims love knows no borders, love knows no borders, will make a difference for the next vulnerable child or family that comes to our border asking for hospitality, for welcome, for love. Another image from that time that I shared on Facebook showed a picture of Ray Schellinger with a group of young immigrant men waiting asylum hearings. Just totally tangentially, I spent the day yesterday with my good friend Harold Sutherland, a graduate of American Baptist Seminary, who worked his whole career as an asylum officer for the U.S. Government. Picture of Ray with a group of young immigrant men awaiting asylum hearings. Ray's an American Baptist missionary who spent a number of years working among the poor and the outcast in Tijuana. He has now become a kind of guardian of the border, not in the sense of a sentry who blocks the way, but as a host who offers welcome and hope. The picture shows Ray with Alexander, Roberto, Kevin, Dennis, and Israel, all at the border. Of the photo, Ray wrote, "I met these young men as they came to check in to see if their numbers were going to be called soon. They've been on the road for 2 months, walking, and in another couple of weeks, they hope to have the chance to state their cases for asylum." He said, "I was blessed by being able to hang out with them for a couple of minutes. They're good kids. We talked about the journey to this point. I can't begin to cover it all," he writes, "but let me just say it's a long walk, folks, from San Salvador to Tijuana." He continued, "We talked about their lives in El Salvador and their decision to leave. Each of them has lost brothers or parents or cousins targeted gang killings, and they were sure they would be next. They know that the U.S. will not likely grant asylum to them. The vast majority of applications are denied, especially for young single men. They will apply anyway because they say they are now marked for death back home. They pray that it will be worth it because there is no other future, no other future that they can imagine. It's all or nothing." He says, I wondered where is joy for Alexander, Roberto, Kevin, Dennis, and Israel in this sacred season of Advent. And still they come in hope and in peace. And still I am left wondering." Now truly, I don't mean to be the Grinch this morning, especially the Grinch of the first part of the book. We know that the Grinch is transformed, and there is joy always in transformation. There is always hope for transformation. That's the story of the Grinch. It's another sermon for another time. I don't mean to be the Grinch, but maybe we have a slightly skewed understanding of what this season is really all about. Have we taken this time of preparation for God, to come into our world in human form and turned it into a time that's too often characterized by forced merriment and rampant consumerism? What should we expect when light comes into the world? Do we really think that what has too often lurked in the shadows will not be exposed by the light? Do we think John and Jesus are going to join us at the mall in a shopping frenzy? That they will party with us in hopes of covering over the pain in our own lives and in the world around us? Brett Younger reminds us Christmas is not a party for those who smile the most. Christmas is for those who have experienced tragedy and discovered that sadness is not the last word. The Holy One, your God, is in your midst, a leader who gives victory. She will rejoice over you with gladness. She will renew you with her love. She will exalt over you with loud singing. You see, joy has something more, is something more than feeling happy and having a good time. It goes much deeper. It's a fundamental connection between us and the one who gives us life. In fact, gives life to all of creation, Sally. Joy bursts forth or leaks forth from the realization that God is with us, even when times are tough, especially when times are tough. Zephaniah prophesies this great prophecy of joy. Zephaniah is prophesying to a people who are caught up in faithlessness. Isaiah sings his song about coming to the to a people in exile in Babylon. Paul writes to a persecuted church, a little group of people in Philippi, and he's writing from prison. John preaches to an oppressed population who have lost their way. And yet each prophet finds some possibility, some hope, some joy in being connected to the Holy One. That's what this season is all about. Finding our connection, our deep connection to the Holy One. Younger points out that real joy has little to do with circumstances and everything to do with God's presence. But he says it takes most of us a while to figure that out. Well, I can say amen. We try to find joy in all the wrong places. Ironically, that's especially true in this season that should be joy-filled as we celebrate God in Christ drawing ever nearer. But so often, it doesn't even come close. In today's words of preparation, Younger writes, affirms that joy is still present when life is hard. Christ comes for grieving people with broken homes and broken hearts. Christmas is the promise that God cares for children who hunger for food, for the lonely who hunger for love, and all who hunger for peace. The Word becomes flesh wherever there is sadness, fear, or emptiness. God comes to be with us in our shadowed valleys, to find our broken hearts, and to carry us when we are tired and weary. So when John confronts his listeners and they in turn ask, what are we to do? And by the way, bully for them. That they actually ask, what are we to do? He responds, they should practice righteousness. Share from your abundance, he says. Be fair in your business practices. Don't cheat, don't lie, don't extort or exploit others. Be kind, be compassionate, be hospitable. Welcome the stranger. Make room for the outcast. Help the helpless. Love God with your whole being. And friends, love your neighbor as you love your very self. I wonder if we couldn't find a whole lot of joy in practices just like these. I bet if the world found these gifts under the tree this year, the rejoicing would be almost more than we could bear. Amen.